You're in Braves country.
I had turned the microphone off and taken a lot of things off and down, potted them down because of the storm, just in case something blew. Everything ended up being okay here, and what really ended up being okay is your Atlanta Braves got a W last night against the big debut of Darius Vines. We're going to talk about that first, but it's finally here. The series is finally here. I don't know about y'all, but I've been waiting for this for several weeks. Once it became very apparent that the Braves and Dodgers were most likely going to be the two best teams in baseball when these two teams collided, and you start looking at the overall standings in Major League Baseball, the fact that Atlanta, okay, so right now, if you're looking at the overall standings, to hell with the division standings, because the division standings were 13.5 up on Philly. Philly has won 7 of their last 10. They haven't gained any ground. We've won 7 of our last 10. We sweep the series. We sweep the season series with the Rockies. That's something to write home about there in a full rebuild. I still have not seen Chris Bryant play in a Rockies uniform. He has been injured every time that we have faced them. What a wasted contract that was, right? I mean, my God. You kind of feel bad for them. But then again, when we headed into that offseason, for those of y'all who've been with the show for a long time, you know that I pounded the table about I would not give Chris Bryant a long-term deal. I don't think he's as good as the money that they ended up giving him. What was it, 184 over, like, I think 7 or 8 years, whatever it was? It was ridiculous. But we still have not seen him play. So they're in a rebuild. And oh, by the way, they got a really expensive free agent that they're not going to be able to get rid of. They might be able to trade him down the line if they eat a bunch of the money and maybe get some prospects back. Maybe if he plays healthy and someone goes, you know what? We'll give up a few prospects if you'll take some of the money and we'll pay the rest and what the hell. But anyways, that's another conversation for another day. The Braves... win last night, Darius Vines, I thought, looked outstanding. And I was nervous for him. If y'all followed in the chat, my biggest concern was they were going to let him twist in the wind because they're so concerned about preserving the bullpen that he was going to end up with a lot of ducks on the pond and trying to get out of it in Coors Field. It's not just the elevation that we've talked about. Coors Field is a pain in the ass because it's wider than every other baseball park. So they already knew the ball was going to fly because of the elevation. They made it wider. So they literally wanted basketball scores at a baseball game. And they're never going to have a successful run in baseball on a regular basis because, you know, I'm talking about year in and year out, because the Rockies, yeah, they got hot that 1 year, made it to the World Series, but then what have they done since? The Rockies, you're never going to talk a big-time free agent pitcher into going into Colorado. They tricked Mike Hampton, what, one time, and then that was it. No one wants to do it. No one wants to wreck their career. The only way they'll ever do it is if they were to, and this obviously wouldn't happen, but if they were to pony up for someone like a Shohei Ohtani and say, you know what, you're going to hit a boat ton of home runs. You come and pitch for us. And you're going to be a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame no matter what you do on the pitching side. And we're going to overpay you. Like, to bring in a pitcher to Colorado, they're going to have to overpay at the ridiculous rate. So, we get the win. We get the series win. Darius Vines, if you missed it last night, went 6 innings, 5 strikeouts, 1 walk. I believe it was 1 walk. 2 earned runs. I thought he looked phenomenal. Considering that was his very first start in the major leagues, And though, yes, it's not a great offense, I get that part of it. Anybody can push back on that, and I don't have a lot to say. But it's a difficult situation to go in, and not to mention the fact you've got a team that is eyeing tomorrow. They're not even focused on what's going on out there. And we still put 7 runs on the board, just under the over. The Braves over team total over was 7.5, and we just missed it. We had, I mean, does this guy, is he human at this point? Marcell Ozuna hits another home run. He's at 31 home runs. He is just scalding hot at this point. Arcia hit a home run as well, and Kevin Pillar got it going in the third inning with the solo shot. I was so glad to see Kevin Pillar have himself a night. He went 2-for-4 with the home run. That's not clicking, nothing is. And honestly, you'd probably give him the game ball. We weren't able to do the play-by-play because of the power issues we had last night. But we should be good to go tonight. Knock on wood. The Braves go in there. They sweep the series. And I was really worried that we were going to drop one, maybe even two, looking ahead. The only question that I have, the only thing I would question this entire thing, is Iglesias. Why did they use Iglesias last night? We had a 4-run lead, so it's not even a safe situation. And I don't get why in the world they would use him on back-to-back nights when you know that the Dodgers are calling tomorrow. No one's going to have the stones to ask sticker that we know how the Atlanta Braves media has been for years. They lob him up softballs because they want them to continue to talk to him. But I would have loved to seen a real reporter ask what is your mentality going into that? Because in all likelihood he's not available for tonight. And there may be a very good answer to it. Hell, maybe they don't want him to face the Dodgers. Who knows? But they're not going to go through 4 games and not assume. But it's not like Spencer Strider isn't on the hill tonight, so you've got a good chance to win this game. So are they going to run him back out there for a 3rd day in a row? And if they do, how long is he down? I think tonight, if you end up with the save situation, here's hoping the Braves' bats explode and we don't have to have this conversation and it was much to do about nothing, right? But if you end up with a save situation, they're probably not going to Iglesias because they've used him back-to-back nights. If they use him back-to-back-to-back, typically with relievers, that means they'll shut him down for 2 days. So I think it's much more likely that they shut him down tonight and have him available for the weekend, hopefully 2 of those games. And if they're trying to rev him up because they want to see what he can do on back-to-back-to-back nights heading towards October, I can get that. So if that's what they do tonight, I get that. And then if they're saying that they'll shut him down on Friday, but he'll be available on the weekend because they want to say, okay, I understand that. But I just thought it was odd. We had a 4-run lead in Colorado against a really bad offense. 4 runs, not... I mean, I would have liked to have seen Yates go out there and just finish it. Let Yates finish it. Shut him down for tonight. You still have Jimenez. You still have Minter, who didn't pitch. You still have... I mean, I really didn't love the fact that Tonkin pitched last night, but I get it. You got to use somebody. I was hoping we were going to have an enormous lead and Colin McHugh would go in and pitch like 3 innings and shut him down for the weekend. But this is... That's the biggest question that I have as far as long-term, what are they thinking? We win that series, we move on. Braves bats are still doing pretty well, but I'm very, very concerned that Matt Olson is in a power outage as we go into the biggest series of the year. I'm not concerned long-term. I know he'll snap out of it. He always does. And you almost want him to not snap out of it yet. Braves find a way to split the series or better, and he snaps out of it going towards October, into October. Because once he snaps out of it, you know he ends up exploding. Now, the thing that I've noticed, because they made such a big deal about it at the beginning of the year, there have been a few at-bats. It's not every at-bat, but there's been a few at-bats that Matt Olson is back to his old routine of sticking the bat way out. This year, he has pulled it in. Couple of at-bats, not couple, several at-bats over the last week or so, I've noticed, and I don't know if someone needs to go tell him, hey, do you know you're doing this? It's not quite as far out as it was, but it's further out than he had it. And maybe that's slowing down his mechanism. Maybe that's got something to do with it. He is getting base hits. It's not like he's in a total slump. He is getting base hits. But we want to see the power because that's what we're built on, right? We are literally built on the three-run home run. We do have speed in the lineup, up and down, but we are not the 1987 St. Louis Cardinals. We're not doing whitey ball, slapping the ball all around, trying to bang it off the turf. That's not Atlanta Braves baseball in 2023. For those of y'all too young to know what that is, Whitey Herzog, sorry, but you know. Some of us were more fortunate and got to see some really great sports years and years ago. We go into this series, and if you look at Matt Olson in all, like, you would think that he's like in an 0 for 90 slump, right? He actually got a base hit last night. But Matt Olson, if you just look at what he has done recently, and I'm going to go through it real quick. Where's his last home run? His last home run. Let's see here. I hate when they do it back-asswards. You go to look at someone's stats, and they start off with April. Like, what are we doing here? So you go all the way back. So this was his last home run. I want to make sure I got it right. His last home run was, yeah, that's right, man. I actually thought it was a couple of days after that. His last home run was against the Mets in Atlanta, August 13th. That is, my God, has it really been? Jeez Louise, it's a longer power drop than I realize. His last home run was August 13th. Before that, he'd really been scooping them up. Remember the Angel series, where he was running down Ohtani? He passes Ohtani. He continued, got a couple in the Cubs series, got one in Pittsburgh, got three in the Mets series. And I really thought he had hit one in the Yankee series. I don't know why I did. I guess because they all just kind of cluttered together. I was thinking we were right at 2 weeks, but it's been a touch longer than that, 2.5 weeks ago. And if he doesn't get that straightened out, and I don't even know if him drifting the bat out, that's got anything to do with it or not. I just know it's something I've noticed watching every game, and I know it's something that they talked about being a big difference, and I'm starting to see his hands. So anyone get that information to Matt Olson one way or the other, I'm just telling you, I've noticed it. It's not every at-bat, but you'll see it. And, you know, almost like he's fighting it. And then, like, the next time he comes up, he'll be back pretty much where he is. But I still feel like that he's still a little higher. I mean, a little further out than he was when he was banging. So if you're at the game tonight, just yell over the dugout, Matt, make sure your damn hands are in. Anything to turn this around. I don't need credit. I need wins. I don't care if how it gets, how the information gets to him. Just get the damn information to him. And I normally don't notice this kind of stuff. That's the funny thing. I normally don't notice. I'm usually so ingrained into the bringing the play by play. I don't notice the little things until later on when it's pointed out. I go, oh yeah, like you know, da 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 da. Because you're focused on where the ball is going. If it's a strike, da 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 da. You know, just getting the information, to people. But every once in a while, I will notice something. I'm like, what? Is no one else paying attention to this? Anyways. Hell, put it out on Twitter. I don't know. I don't have enough Twitter followings because my Twitter account is extremely boring. We just put out, hey, here's the game. That's it. Because I've never been great at Twitter. I don't want to be good at Twitter. And now that it's X, I really don't want to be good at it because it's just this dopey name. I didn't care that he wanted to change the name. But it was a dopey name. If you buy, so you spend billions of dollars on something, you want to rename it, you do you, buddy. But come up with something more clever than X. It's kind of depressing with the with just the X and the black background. The blue bird was much more engaging. Anyways, off that rant. So here's hoping he gets it straightened out. We get into the series itself, Braves versus Dodgers. Now we'll go through the lineups and everything right before first pitch, but this is talk. I want to talk about the series because this series. Now obviously Vines won't be involved in it because he pitched today or not today, Wednesday night. So he will be set up if they want to keep him. And I don't know why you wouldn't because I thought he was phenomenal. I would love to see him pitch at home. He'll be set up for next Tuesday. We have an off day on Labor Day, which is really rare. I love that. I love the fact that Braves are off on Labor Day, especially coming back from this grueling series. Love it. Means that everybody, the fans, the team, everybody can take Labor Day off and then get ready for the home stretch. But next Tuesday, they're at home against St. Louis. And he would line up, if they want to do it this way, to pitch against St. Louis and Pittsburgh at home. And after that, there's a very good chance Kyle Wright will be back. Kyle Wright pitched yesterday. It didn't go well. It didn't go well. They don't care as much, but it's funny. They'll change their tune every single time. They'll change their tune every time. They'll say, oh, it's good to see him pitch well, blah, blah, blah. And then you'll hear him say, we just want to get working. So you can't even ask anyone in the organization because all you're going to get is coach speak. But when we look at the Atlanta Braves going forward, I think Darius Vines can give you two more solid starts. That's all we need. We just need two. And by the way, I was surprised that he got five strikeouts. If you looked at his numbers, he's not really a strikeout pitcher, and for good reason. If you saw it, he was topping out around 90, but well-placed pitches. Very, you know how a lot of times they'll use the metaphor of a poor man's this, a poor man's that. I think he's actually a rich man's Julio Teheran because his stuff is very comparable to a young Teheran, not Julio today. Julio today is a shadow of a form self. But Julio Teheran back in his day, Vines actually has a little better stuff than him. But he's not going to blow you away. He just has to keep the ball down and place it in and out, every once in a while go up. And the fact that he's been through the grind that he's been through, I think he's 25 now. I would love to see him going forward on this staff. I mentioned last night in the chat, right now I am ready to leave Colin McHugh off the damn playoff roster and see Vines in there. Because if you need someone in some kind of mop-up role, Vines, to me, gives you better stuff. It's not like Colin McHugh's got a faster fastball. He doesn't. His cutter's actually a mile or two less. I thought Vines was phenomenal. An interesting move. Noah Syndergaard has been DFA'd, and then he was released. So he was DFA'd on August 28th. He was released today because he made it through waivers. Nobody wanted him. It's really odd because if you look at his numbers, up and down, up and down, up and down, it feels like someone could probably fix him. I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Rays. Tampa Bay fixes everybody. He'll come out firing bullets in October for Tampa Bay. Probably not, but it's very, very interesting. And if you missed it last night also, the Atlanta Braves have gotten to 250 team home runs. It's the new single season record for the Braves organization. They're still 57 away to beat the Minnesota Twins in 2019. I don't know if I care if we win it, because it's not like the Minnesota Twins in 2019 did anything special. But it would be a cool little thing to add to this team if they were to end up winning the World Series or at least the NL pennant. And you had this as well. You could always talk about how fun of a team it was. And people would have to. It would be cool for them to be up there near the top so that they're always referenced. But I don't really realistically care. So we go into this series. And let's flip the page now and get into the nuts and bolts of what's going to go down in Braves, Dodgers. It's a 4-game set, as I'm sure most of y'all already know. It is going to be both teams set their matchups. Both teams push their pitchers back. And I don't hate that for either side. I love the fact that they said, you know what? It's going to be a good old-fashioned gunfight at the old K Corral. Let's get it. Tonight it's Strider versus Lynn. And Lynn, you're going to see him come in 10-9 with a 5.56 ERA. But if you remember Lance Lynn, he was with the White Sox when we saw Chicago back in July. It was the first series right after the All-Star break. And Lance Lynn, though he ended up giving up 5 1/3, 4 earned runs. Lance Lynn pitched pretty darn good. He had 6 strikeouts. The Braves really just got to him in one inning. It was the third inning that they put 3 on the board on him. We ended up scratching another run out of him in the fifth. But the main thing was the 3 runs, and it was Ronald Acuna Jr. hitting 2 home runs, and Eddie Rosario hit a home run that night. So that was the damage. The White Sox actually won that game, and Strider was on the mound that night too. Strider got banged around. That was another one of those games where they left Strider in way too damn long. He'd given up 3 in the first, and then they continued to now, he wasn't pitching very well at that spot. He really caught on about a month later. So this is essentially a rematch of Strider versus Lynn. I do believe the Braves can get to him. If he is on, pitching his best game, the Braves can still scratch out a few runs. But if he's, one of the things that's hurt him a lot has been the walks. And the Braves are so much better in 2023 than they've ever been at eating pitches, waiting for theirs. I don't think they're necessarily going 98 Yankees, where the Yankees literally, their game plan was to go up there and eat pitches. I think they've just become more, just a little more picky at the pitches that they swing. There's still a couple of guys in the offense that do not eat enough pitches. Mainly, the first one that jumps off at me is Ozzie Albies. Ozzie Albies will go out there and he gets it in his mindset sometimes that I'm swinging at the next pitch, and it doesn't matter where the hell the pitch is. And it's usually because he's trying to get out of a slump, right? And I don't expect a whole lot from Ozzie in the series because he is still coming back off the IL, and usually it takes guys several games. So he's only three games back off the IL. But Strider versus Lynn, I'll give you the prediction here in a second. But Strider versus Lynn, that's our first matchup. Now, the predictions on all the other games, for those of y'all who might be new to this, I give those day by day by day. But we did want to preview this series, such a big series. The Friday and Saturday games, I'll give you both of those tomorrow on the Friday broadcast. And then the Sunday, I'll do that on Sunday. This is a really fun one as well. This is probably going to be a really low-scoring game. Friday night, Max Fried versus Julio Urias. Julio has a 4.41 ERA. He's 11-7. That doesn't do anything for me. Julio Urias splits at home. He is much better at home. And, of course, that's where he's going to be pitching, is in Los Angeles. At home this year, he's 8-1 with a 2.3 ERA. He is 3-6 with a 7.07 ERA on the road. At night, which is when this game is going to be played, he has a 2.82 ERA compared to a 6.75 ERA. I mean, he plays so poorly in day games, road day games, you almost think he's in the batting line for the Atlanta Braves. So I expect Urias to come out. We're going to get the Dodgers' best effort, just like the Dodgers are going to get our best effort. No one's going to be, anyone with a pulse in these dugouts are going to be flying high for this. It's not just because you can look at the standings and figure it out for yourself. There's been a lot of hype going into this. A lot of hype. In game one, I give the Braves the edge. In game two, it's literally, to me, a pick 'em. It really comes out to which pitcher shows up and dominates. I believe in Max Fried. He has scuffled a little bit since coming off the IL, but all in all has been pretty solid. And he has a competitive drive like no other. His competitive drive, to me, is one of the most impressive things about Max Fried. You see him just bear down. He doesn't look like he would. He's got that all shuck smile, and he weighs about 120 pounds soaking wet, and you're like, well, this guy doesn't scare me. But he has got a competitive fire. And for that matter, from the games that I've seen, Julio Urias, and Dodgers fans can probably talk to this much better than I can, I've seen Julio Urias with that same competitive fire. So this should be a lights out, let's go, buckle up game. I am probably more excited about this game than any of the games in the series of the Friday night game. It's going to be a lot of fun. Then we go to the Saturday game, and this one has me worried. It says that it's Bryce Elder versus undecided if you go to most of the sites. It's Bobby Miller. Bobby Miller has he pitched, I think, Monday. And we saw Bobby Miller his first time through. Bobby Miller was damn good against the Atlanta Braves. Unless they change something, it's Bobby Miller. Because that was what was being quoted in the press, et cetera, et cetera. But when we first saw him, we saw him for his major league debut in Atlanta, a tough spot. I think it was a national televised game, too. I want to say it was one of those TBS Tuesday night games. He went in against that lineup and gave them five innings of one-run ball, five strikeouts, one walk, and hit the ground running in his career. He got the W, making his debut, what was that, May 23rd? He has been impressive ever since. Bobby Miller's 8-3 with a 4 ERA. Now, it is interesting to me. I don't know what the reasoning would be. But his splits at home are far worse than on the road. He's got a 5.28 ERA at home, 4-2. His day-night splits, not that big of a difference. 3.68 versus 4.11. That's really, come on. But the fact that he is at home not as good is very interesting. I don't know if that will play into this. Against Arizona, and I'd say that that's a comparable matchup on Monday. Arizona's got a very good offense. He gave up four. He did go six, struck out four, walked two. He was very good against Milwaukee, but Milwaukee does not have the offense that the Braves have at home. So he went six and gave up a run. So I kind of put that as an outlier. Against the Pirates at home, 5 2/3, 4 earned runs. Against the Reds at home, 5 innings, 3 earned runs. Against Houston at home, and that's pretty comparable to the Atlanta offense, 4 innings, 6 earned runs. Against the Giants at home, not a very good offense, 5 2/3 and 7 earned. So something goes on there where he just doesn't pitch well at home. He did shut out the Yankees back in June 4th, but my God, the Yankees offense is putrid. So now I have watched him pitch several times, mainly because, full disclosure, I've got him on a Dynasty Fantasy Baseball League, so you kind of get to know the guys that are on that team and you watch. He's got really good stuff. Bryce Elder, stuff-wise, I don't even think it's a contest. Bobby Miller's got much better stuff than Elder. But that's not how Elder has made his name. Elder has literally made his name by placing that sinker and keeping the control and getting guys to have soft contact. He'll get a few strikeouts, but it's literally soft contact that he lives off of, right? So you look at what Elder has been doing, against Colorado, 6 innings, 4 earned runs. I can't take a Colorado bad outing seriously because it's the elevation, it's the whole 9 yards. Before that, Elder went 5 1/3 at home against the Mets. We know the Mets are a shell of the former self. The Yankees, 7 innings, no earned runs. He's really pitched well very recently. But before that, in Chicago, in Pittsburgh, he gave up 5 earned runs both times. I felt like he was hitting a wall, but maybe he's gotten his second wind and we'll be ready to roll. As far as when you look at Bryce Elder's splits, if you're curious about that, he's got a 4.04 road ERA and a 3.02 home, so a little better at home, but it's not that big of a difference. I will say this, for whatever reason, his ERA at night, 2.68, much better than his day games at 4.76. And it's a healthy sample size, 90 innings at night, 58 during the day. So that to me tells me that we can probably expect some runs to be scored on Saturday night, but I do expect Elder to pitch well, and I actually expect Bobby Miller, despite what I just threw out there, I expect him to pitch pretty well. That game is probably going to be more reliant on the back of our bullpens. That one is a true toss-up. If I was going to give an edge, I'd probably give an edge to the Dodgers in that particular game, but it's by, I mean, we're talking about 51-49 type of split. It's because it really comes down to, if Bobby Miller is bad at home and he pitches poorly at home, then obviously the Braves are going to bang. But Bobby Miller's got good stuff and he pitched well against us the first time. So that's the, and let's not fool ourselves. I know we're big Braves fans and we're going in there. We can win, we can win. Let's not act like we're playing some trash team. This is the Dodgers, one of the best teams money can buy. And they've got a long lineup. And Elder getting through that lineup more than two times is going to be a feat. He gets to that lineup three times, I will be ecstatic. Absolutely ecstatic. Because he's one of my favorite pitchers to watch. And I talk about this a lot, but the reason being is I like watching pitchers that have control and do more things to possibly I'm not going to say trick you, but they almost outsmart you. Almost like the old Greg Maddux, right? Greg Maddux, to me, was one of the funnest pitchers to watch because you see it go in and out, up and down, soft contact. You just, to me, that's more fun to watch than a boatload of strikeouts. Don't get me wrong. I love the Strider strikeout. I love the fact that he's on our team. If you're asking me as a fan, what do I enjoy more? I enjoy a guy that can go out there, get maybe three or four strikeouts. And maybe those strikeouts are in big moments, right? But most of the game is soft contact, defense making plays, et cetera, et cetera. By the way, that DJ Stewart for the Mets, he went yard again last night. We got to find a way to get that dude, man. I'm telling you, he was a hell of a hitter in college. I would love to have him coming off the bench playing in the outfield. Because you know the Mets are going to do stupid things. In fact, I think I saw that, yeah, he made a catch at the wall where he slammed in the wall. Now, he's never been known for his defense in college that I remember, but I would love to get that left-handed stick on Atlanta. I don't have no idea how much control they have on him or whatnot, but he's one of the few dudes on that team that's actually raking right now. We go from the Saturday game to the Sunday game, and that one is a couple of old-timers. It's a great matchup. It's a great way to finish the series. And hopefully we're not we're trying to stave off a sweep. Hopefully we've won at least one of these games, if not two. Game four, no matter what it shows you on most of the outlets, it's going to be Charlie Morton versus Clayton Kershaw. That's going to be veteran versus veteran, mano y mano. Let's go. Two guys who are going to go out there, and I expect a low score. I expect Charlie Morton to pitch a gem. And I think that is literally going to come down to the back of the bullpen. The one thing I will say about the Braves, and you can't say this in most years, I like our bullpen a lot more than the Dodgers' bullpen. The Dodgers have some good arms in that bullpen, but top to bottom, the Braves bullpen is much deeper. You look at most years, that was usually the biggest hurdle. Is this going, good night, Irene. What are we going to do? We're playing the Dodgers. How are we can't hit Kershaw when we get in the bullpen. We couldn't hit half of their back of the bullpen. That's not the case anymore. The Braves have the second best ERA in major leagues in bullpen, a 3.39 ERA. The Dodgers, they're not terrible. They are, I think they're just outside the top 10. Their ERA is 3.76. So a good bullpen. It's not like they're, you know, the Oakland A's or something. But it's interesting to me that, by the way, you talk about a disaster. The Yankees with the best bullpen in baseball, and they're not going to make the playoffs. I know they keep talking about firing Boone. You got to fire Cashman. They can say what they want. Oh, he's done this and done that. He hasn't done it in 15 years. And he continues to bring old relics, and they aren't producing. But back to Braves Dodgers. 3.39 ERA. And the number that you're also going to be curious about as far as home runs given up, the Braves and Dodgers are near the bottom. Now, the Braves, the only bullpens that have been better at not giving up the long ball than Atlanta is Baltimore and Seattle. That makes a lot of sense because they're both right there in the playoff chase. It surprises me that St. Louis is right there. St. Louis is just below Atlanta. But the Dodgers have given up 7 more home runs in their bullpen. And to me, that's a pretty big deal. What they do have is they've got pretty good strikeout guys in their bullpen. They rank 5th. Braves rank middle of the pack. That doesn't really shock me if you think of the guys that we have. We don't have these, you know, big strikeout guys. In his prime, Luke Jackson was a strikeout guy. When he was dealing, Will Smith was a strikeout guy. We don't really have that. Iglesias can be a strikeout guy, but he's fine with slow tappers to short as well. Because he's just trying to get you to swing at that changeup. He doesn't really care if you strike out or not. Because if you do hit that changeup, most likely you're banging it in the dirt. But his strikeout rate has actually improved quite a bit. But this, I feel like this series is going to come down to the starting pitching's pretty even. I give the Braves the edge in game one. I think it's a flat-footed toss-up in game two. Although, the one outlier is this. The Atlanta Braves hit left-handed pitching really well. And they're going to face two lefties in Urias and Kershaw. So it'll be interesting, can they hit them well? But I give us the edge in game one. Two to me is a toss-up. It's probably going to come down to which bullpen is stronger. Who comes up with timely hitting? Game three, I think, is going to be a higher scoring game. So I give us a slight chance to make up for the fact that I believe their starting pitcher has better stuff. If it gets into a shootout, I'll still take our offense over anyone's in baseball. Though the Dodgers have a very good offense, don't get me wrong. But come on now. Braves offense is stacked top to bottom. We don't have necessarily a hole in the lineup. So you can't go, well, we can pitch around this guy to get to this guy, this guy. You don't really have that. Every other lineup in baseball, including the Dodgers, when you get down towards the bottom, you're like, all right, we might actually have to put this guy on because we know we can get this guy. You do that with the Braves, somebody's going yard. in game four, I would give the Dodgers a slight edge just because Kershaw has been so damn good against the Braves. But I really believe in Morton. I'm going to take the Braves to win the series 3-1. But if you told me right now we would split it, I'd get on the plane and go home to Atlanta. Sounds good to me. Because this is a series that could go any direction. It's not a series that you can say, well, this team has a definite advantage in this game and a definite advantage in that game. There's no pitching matchup like that. I think the Braves do have an advantage in tonight's game, the first game. But outside of that, I'm looking at low-scoring toss-up in Friday, higher-scoring toss-up in Saturday, and then I'm expecting two absolute legendary veterans to go battle. And Charlie's curveball has been so much better his last three outings. So much better. I'm starting to ramp that up. Tonight, I am going to take the Atlanta Braves with Spencer Strider. Let's see what the numbers are on this. Vegas even has us as a favorite, which is odd that we're in Los Angeles facing the Dodgers and we're a favorite. But that's what they believe. That's how good Strider is. The over-under is 8.5. I don't think we get to that number. I think it's going to be a grind. I think the Braves win. I think they tack on some runs. Give me the Braves 5-1 tonight. 5-1. You know what? It is the Dodgers. 5-2. I think the Braves find a way. 5-2. They grind through it. Be interesting to see who they send out there to close it out. Hopefully it's a moot point, and I'm wildly wrong, and the Braves win this thing walking away. But I'll go 5-2. You know what? I'm sticking with my gut feeling. 5-1. I think Strider's going to go deep into this game. I think the bullpen's going to shut the door. It may be Jimenez closing it out. I feel great about Jimenez. It could be a combo of Strider going 7 and bullpen. So if he goes 7, what if we end up with, we'll say, Minter in the 8th and Jimenez in the 9th? I can live with that. I don't know about y'all, but I can absolutely live with that. My pick to click, it's, how do you not take Ronald Acuña Jr.? He hit 2 home runs last time Lynn was on the mound. And to that point, I do believe the National League MVP, it's going to go a long way to who wins it on who plays a better series. So you better buckle up, Mr. Acuña. You better have good at-bats. You better not give away at-bats, because Mookie Betts is not going to give away at-bats. Braves need to go out there and shut him down. They need to help Ronnie get this MVP. Pick to click, Ronald Acuña Jr. Braves win it 5-1. All right. That'll do it. Let's get ready for Braves Dodgers. God dog it, it's finally here. Go Bravos.
You're in Braves country.